If you turn with me to Exodus 1:1, Exodus 1:1, we're going to begin reading in 1:1 and read through verse 2:10. So I want you to get the background. And what I want to talk to you about today is the attributes of a great mother. The attributes of a great mother. We're going to begin reading in Exodus 1 and read all the way through 1 and into 2 through verse 10. Beginning to read. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for the Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth, and observe them on the delivery stool. If it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? And the midwives answered, Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to his people. Every boy that is born to a Levite woman, every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Okay, now into chapter 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Let's pray together. Father, we just pray for the next half hour or so that Lord, you will just draw forth out of us that which you would. And Lord, draw out of me that which you would. And I just pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that you'll watch over your word to perform it as it comes forth. Lord, watch over me now, that I only speak the words you've ordained, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, interesting story, and it's a Bible story that children learn from wee little, and it's a powerful story, but it's not just a story, it's an account of what really happened. And I just want to bring out a few things about this. First of all, disobeying the king could easily be punishable by death. And this mother chose to hide her child until she couldn't really hide him anymore, right? So she disobeyed the powers that be, okay? Because she loved her child. She was a mom of moms. And I'm guessing, if this hadn't worked out and they had come to get her, she probably would have went mama bear on somebody. Yes. What do you think of that? And so anyway, Pharaoh gives this order that every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Kind of interesting. You go down a few lines there and she hid him for 3 months and then she decided when she could hide him no more, she'd get a basket and coat it with tar and pitch. She kind of obeyed the order. She put him in the Nile. But he was in the Nile, but he was floating. He was not drowned like the king wanted. This mama was willing to risk everything for her child. She, and then also, you know, it really occurred to me, I never thought about it this way either, and I know we're talking about mothers because it's Mother's Day, but I want to talk about the sister a minute. She wasn't giving up either. And look at what God used her for. She went down there and she's watching. She's watching through the reeds to see what's going to happen to her little brother in the basket. Okay, so already had him for 3 months. So, I mean, by then, there's a lot of love grown. Amen? So, she's down looking through the reeds, and she sees what's going on. And then she positions herself in a place where she can say, hey, you want me to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child? And she goes and gets her mom. And her mom gets the baby back. And not only got the baby back, but gets paid to take care of the baby. Have you ever thought about this? See, this isn't what's been told in the Bible stories that I remember when I was a kid. None of that was told. But that's reality. It's right there in the Word of God. I love the way God works. He used his sister to bring the baby right back to her, for her to nurse and raise and cuddle and nurture, to implant godly things into this little boy, to pray over this child, to bless this child. And then when a time came, then she had to release him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now that had to be hard, but she did that full well knowing she had done everything she could to impart into Moses those godly things. And she named him, she being Pharaoh's daughter, Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Well, today I want to talk to two mothers, and not about mothers, really. I want to talk to mothers. First of all, I got to clear something up. My opinion, a man's best friend is not his dog. A man's best friend is his mother. I have missed my mom every day since she passed away. My mom was, well, you know, she got saved under my ministry. I was not really raised in a Christian home, but it was for the most part a moral home, and I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful my parents both got saved later in life, because I want to see them again. But my mom was the kind of person I could talk to and confide in, and if I told her this needs to stay between you and me, she took those things to the grave. She really did. And see, that's what a best friend is. See, a best friend doesn't go and tell all they know about you when you're not around. A best friend is a person that is a confidant. A best friend is a person that you can tell things, and when you tell them, this needs to stay between you, me, and God, that you know it's going to stay that way. So I'll say again. Man's best friend is not a dog. And I got nothing against dogs. But a man's best friend is his mom. Every child needs a good mother. All of us who have had good mothers should be very, very grateful. We already had a testimony of what it is to have a good mother. Already, before I even got in this pulpit this morning, it was spontaneous. I love that when God does that. Love it. Well, in this age of selfishness and materialism, we need to look at the virtues that mothers would do well to seek. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, that we've been talking about, possessed many of the marks of goodness and greatness that are needed by mothers of today and forever. First major point, Jochebed, which means the Lord is glorious, that's what that name means, by the way. Jochebed also had a good husband. He was of the tribe of Levi. And in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, it says this, Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. Now some of you, if you caught that, probably noticed that sounds kind of dysfunctional. Raise your hand if you caught what I'm talking about. Back then that kind of thing was allowed, and then it wasn't allowed anymore. So it's not allowed anymore. What I'm saying to you is, Jochebed was Amram's aunt. Okay? But, as I said, that was allowed back then, early in creation, that was allowed. And it gives us information, says Amram lived 137 years. Well, the way this world's getting, I really hope I don't get that old. I'm just saying. Anybody else in that boat with me? I don't really care to get that old. Okay, so we can assume that he shared the same faith, ideals, and hopes as his wife did. Every woman needs a Christian husband. Every woman needs a Christian husband. So that we're all on the same page, so that we're not unequally yoked. Right? Can't get no agreement today. Many women find their greatest opponent to the proper rearing of children in the father of their children. See, when you're unequally yoked, you can end up on opposite ends of the road in how to rear the children. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The godly husband can and should help his wife to be a great mother. See, a godly man should teach his children to respect their mother. Respect him also, but respect their mother. I want to tell you something. My dad didn't know Jesus when I was growing up, but I was about to have a bad day when my mom said to me, "All right, I've had it. You wait till your father gets home. I'm telling." Amen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I'd fall on my knees and say, "Just beat me. Do whatever you got to do, just beat me. But for the love of God, don't tell Dad." Ain't that right? Wow, I don't know if you all grew up in that kind of home, but Dad, man, when he come home from work, and if he happened to have a bad day at work, it was even worse. So my dad didn't tolerate us kids disrespecting or disobeying my mother. If she said it, it might as well have been him saying it. When she gave an order, you better come to time. I was dumb enough when I was a little boy, 4 years old, to run away from my mom when she was pregnant with my younger sister. She couldn't run very fast. Big old belly, about ready to have my sister. And she chased me down to the barn, and there was a couple of silos down there. And I decided it'd be smart to get away from her. I just climbed that silo. 4 years old, I climbed to the top of a 60-foot silo. Not the best choice I ever made. I heard those words from 60 feet down. "You wait till your father gets home." And I was dumb enough, I stayed up there till he did. I'll leave that lay where it's at. Suffice it to say, I had a tough night. Second major point. It seems that Jochebed recognized parenting as a very real responsibility. You kind of pick up on that as we go through this story? Yes. Not just a chore or a job. She saw it as a responsibility. She was willing to disobey the king to preserve the life of her child. She also risked her own life because, as I said earlier in the opening of this message, she very well could have been found out and been killed for what she did. Because she did disobey the king, even though she did put him in the water in one fashion. Hers was the joy of creation and preservation. She did all she could do with this child of creation to preserve him. Motherhood for her was a service to God. Godly mothers are just always going to be the best mothers because they impart their faith into the next generation. I didn't say that to offend anybody, but it's truth. The best mothers are godly mothers because they do all they can to impart their love of God and their faith. Many of us are here today because of the faith of their mothers. Now, it wasn't my mom's faith back then that drew me in. Actually, it was my grandmother's. My mom's mom was the one that used to talk to me, pray for me. She even prophesied over me. I didn't know what she was doing, but she prophesied over me. And guess what? She prophesied. I was a little boy. She prophesied I was going to preach God's word someday. Seemed crazy to me. I didn't have any desire to do that. Yet here I am. Here I am. Jochebed Jochebed, in our third point, we look at the fact that Jochebed was a woman of vision. Let me explain. If you're taking notes, jot this down. In Exodus 2, verse 2, we see that she saw that Moses was a fine child. She was discerning. She looked at Moses and she saw that Moses was a fine child. That's in Exodus 2, verse 2. In Acts 7, verse 20, it says, he was no ordinary child. Now, mind you, most mothers look at their children and feel that way.
That's right.
Well, this one's special. This is my fair-haired child. But it was more than that for her. It was something that God had stirred in her, I believe. And thirdly, in Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, they saw he was no ordinary child. They saw he was no ordinary child. So we see in three places in Scripture that they saw, that they recognized, that they discerned that this child was going to do great things for God. Or in God, however you want to say it. She had a prophetic insight, is what we're saying. What I just told you about my grandma. She obviously had a prophetic insight. She saw the possibilities in Moses' life. She saw the possibilities for her nation. She saw the possibilities for her God. She saw the possibilities for future generations. She recognized that her baby was designated for spiritual purposes. She determined to cooperate with God in His purposes for her child. She was determined to do everything she could to fulfill whatever God's purpose was for that child. And that is what we as parents, moms, as mothers need to seek after. Always, more than anything, I have all of my children sitting up here. And when I say this, I know that they're going to have to remember because I said it many times. I told them over and over after I had gotten saved. I told them over and over, just live for God, because if you're in a relationship with Him, I don't have anything else to worry about as your father. Because He will lead your life. Just live for God. Moms, if we train our children in the way they should go, train them up in the way they should go. Scripture tells us that when they're old, they'll not depart from that path. Might be some time in between. A little rebellion, and you know, there might be some time in between. But what you sow into a child, as a mother, most mothers have more time to spend with their children than fathers do. That's just the way it is. Most. There are exceptions. Some fathers have more time than moms. We're talking about moms today. Fathers are a month away. So she was determined. Fourth, she was a mother of great faith. It's evident that she had faith in God. When she did what she did and she put that basket in the Nile, in the reeds, she had faith that God was going to do something fabulous. I'm not saying she knew. Oh, she probably didn't. I'm standing on pretty solid ground saying that she probably didn't know for sure that Pharaoh's daughter was going to come down there when she did. However, people are creatures of habit. Is anybody else kind of creature of habit? People are creatures of habit, and she may have known that she went down there every day at that time or something to bathe. Who knows? But point is, there's no way she could have known. for sure that that baby was going to end up in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. But she had faith in God. Faith in God compelled her to do what she did. Well, she also then had faith in herself being in Christ, or in God. Her being under God, under God's direction, she had faith in herself. Moms, you need to have some faith in yourself. We all blow it sometimes. Everybody blows it sometimes. Every one of us lacks the ability to be perfect. So give up on that. You're not going to be perfect. You got to be satisfied with being a good mom in Christ. Amen? She also had faith in her child because God had obviously ministered to her prophetically. Because she did quite a few things here that were out of the ordinary for that day. And also her older child, Moses' sister. I mean, God lined things up. It's amazing. When you see true stories like this, and there are innumerable of them, you can't not believe in God's providence. God's providence is amazing. Young people, listen to me. God has a call on every one of your lives. Amen. He has got a perfect path for your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to direct your life. And He wants to use you for His purposes. Speaking from experience, now that I've been walking with God for a long time, there is no greater joy than knowing you are directly in the will of God, especially the perfect will. There is the permissive will and there is the perfect will of God. There's the permissive will where you're not getting too crazy, you know, you're saved, but then there's the perfect will where you're actually living for God. He's absolutely the Lord of your life. That, in that place, that is where there is such blessing in life. Fifth, she was a mother of courage and sacrifice. She absolutely refused to accept defeat. She refused to accept defeat. She had this child. She was told to throw this child in the Nile. She hid him for 3 months. Then she thought, all right, I'm gonna take this basket and put pitch on it so it'll float. And he's in the Nile, but he's going to float. She would not accept defeat. Makes me wonder what she would have done if Pharaoh's daughter hadn't showed up with her servants and he'd been found ready. Makes me wonder what she would have done. I can't stand here and say I know. I don't know. Neither do you. But it makes me wonder. Because I don't think she would have given up. You agree? There's no way she was going to give up. Clearly she wasn't. She wanted to do all in her power to meet the need of the hour. How many of you moms would admit raising children, man, it's a minute-by-minute thing. You just never know what's going to happen. The two-year-olds. We used to call it the terrible twos. And then fast forward to the teenage years. It's an experience. It's an experience. Major point number six. She was more than just a parent. She was a teacher under God. Children need more than the material things in life. It's fun to bless their children. It's fun to meet their needs. But they need more than material blessings. They need more than a TV, a computer, and a phone to occupy them. They need constant, daily input, face-to-face with a godly mom. They need time with a dad too, but again, this is for moms right now. Hang in there, guys. They need that loving, motherly input, that example. Every day, so that they can be nurtured. Children need to have the inspiration and guidance of that spiritual nurturing. That was something that I missed out on in my younger years, and quite possibly was why I wasn't, it wasn't until I was 25 that I got low enough that I had tried everything except God and decided, might as well give God a try. I've tried everything this world had to offer. I don't have any regrets because I'm thankful that I did meet God when I did. My folks did the best they knew how with what they had at the time. That's what it boils down to. And if you're here, today, then maybe you weren't walking with God when your children were little, and I don't know what the circumstances are, but don't let the enemy beat you down. If you're here and you have come to Christ, praise God. We don't have a reverse in this life. We only have a forward. And go forward with God and believe God to do awesome things. We just sung about that kind of stuff. We just sung about the fact that He's the God of the impossible. Take hope in that. Pray, and you'll see breakthrough. Amen? Amen. She taught Moses the truth about God. She pictured Moses for the hero of faith that he would be. She taught Moses to be sympathetic toward the unfortunate. But you say, Pastor Wayne, how do you know these things? Well, there's so much scripture about Moses, I can't even read it all with you today. But let me give you an example of, for example, this last one. I just said to you that she taught Moses to be sympathetic toward the unfortunate. How many of you remember about him going out, leaving the palace, to look into what his people were doing, and he saw an Egyptian beating one of his people ruthlessly. And what did he do? He thrashed him so bad he killed him, and he had to bury him in the sand. Now, he got out ahead of God, but see, what his mom planted in him was in there in caring for the people. That's what that came out of. That's why he was angry. Didn't like seeing his people abused. Are you with me? So she taught Moses to be intolerant toward injustice. Many years ago, I was at a stoplight, and in the car in front of me, I saw a man that I knew and his wife. And all of a sudden, I saw him hauling back at the stoplight and punching her over and over. He had her by the hair with one hand and punching her with the other. I threw my vehicle in park and jumped out and was headed that direction because I was going to put an end to it. Now, the light turned green, and I ended up standing out there looking like a dork. Some people behind me, I'm sure, didn't know why I got out. But I was headed up there to do something about it. See, there's something in me that has a problem with injustice as well. That's what I'm saying to you. And I believe God put that in me. I can't tolerate those kinds of injustices. You hear what I'm saying? So I can somewhat relate to how she imparted to her son the caring, nurturing, and the willingness to do something about it when there was abuse taking place. You with me? So he was intolerant toward injustice. And she taught Moses about the God of Israel. Moms, that is your most important task. We train our children, we teach our children, we shape our children, but the most important task is doing it in Christ. Imparting to them the faith that you have. Sow that faith into them. Look for opportunities. You don't need to write a sermon every day. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living life and utilizing experiences to be able to just impart godly things to our children. Just teaching them how to live life in Christ, it's invaluable. In conclusion, every child needs a genuine Christian mother, one who knows, loves, worships, and serves God. No one can give your child a Christian mother except you. You are the only person that can give your child a Christian mother. Determined to let God help you and cooperate fully with Him as He works in your heart and mind, that your children might have the best mother possible. Husbands, your wife must have a Christian husband who is sympathetic and cooperative if she is to be the kind of mother God wants her to be. With God's power, you can help your wife provide your children with the kind of mother they need. If you have not already received Christ in your heart, I would encourage you to do that. And it's not a one and done. Over the years, I've seen a lot of people respond to altar calls or raise hands and pray. But see, for too many people, that's one and done. It's not one and done. That's a beginning of a new life. You draw a line in the sand and you make a decision like that, it's the beginning of a new life. So is there anyone here that would say, I really do need to start a life in Christ because I need to impart to my children or my grandchildren. And if I don't have it, I can't impart it. Is there anyone this morning? Is there anyone this morning? All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for mothers. Lord, we didn't think this whole concept up. You are the one that created mothers. And we thank you for them, Lord. And we pray that you will bless every mother that is here with wisdom and grace. Fill them with the power of your Spirit. And Lord, infuse them with the ability to share the faith that they have with their children, with their grandchildren, even with great-grandchildren. Lord, as long as we live, to impart. And we give you praise for empowering us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.